This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
I'm Ryan Tedda, executive producer of The View. It's Monday, and this is a special one. I'm joined by Alyssa Farah Griffin and former White House press secretary Jen Psaki. This is Behind the Table. All right, it is Monday, and I am here with Alyssa and Jen Psaki, who was just on The View with us to discuss her new book, Say More, Lessons from Work, The White House and the World, which comes out tomorrow, as Jen kindly pointed out, the same day as Whoopi's book. There's room on everybody's shelf for both.
Yes, there is. Buy both.
Buy both. Yes. Welcome, Jen and Alyssa. So the two of you actually just met for the first time at the White House Correspondents' Dinner.
We did, which I can't believe because Washington is such a small town and everybody is about a degree of separation apart. And we met through our mutual friend, Sarah Matthews.
Yes.
And then we ran into each other about seven times at the dinner because that's always what happens.
So I was convinced I knew you. I call it TV face, but it's also like political circles. I was like,
yes.
And then I thought about it. I actually saw you at the White House Christmas party. I was like, I don't actually know her.
But I know.
It was so great to
meet. I probably thought the same of you, too. It's so funny.
But it was funny. So we're, you know, walking and chatting. And you said something along the lines of like, don't you sometimes miss the White House? And Sarah Matthews and I just crack up because I'm like, we were in the Trump White House. A bit of a different experience than Obama or Biden. But
and I'm like, why did I say that? I don't know. I don't know. Probably because that weekend is such a funny weekend. I mean, it's nerd prom. It's bizarre. You're in an uncomfortable dress for 107 hours approximately that night. But it is like it honors the press. You see a lot of people you've known through years. And so there's a nostalgia in it.
Totally.
Alyssa had talked to me about what a different experience it was to be at a guest at an event like that rather than be in the role that she had there. I imagine it's very different for you. Now you're a member of the press and you're at the Correspondents' Dinner. What was that like?
Well, the last time I went when I was working for President Biden, I was on the dais, of course. And
right.
Then there's going to be jokes about you in the speech. And Trevor Noah made a couple of jokes. I had COVID a bunch of times. I don't even know if like COVID was going to kill people. I'd be a person who was killed off early. Who knows? But so you're thinking about your facial expressions at that moment. And this time, I wasn't at all. I sat next between Alicia Menendez and Jonathan Capehart, and we just had a good time. And Jonathan Capehart laughed at every joke so loudly, it was giving me joy. But it was a very different experience in that way.
Well, totally. And you can enjoy the parties. You can have a few glasses. Like I remember, and Trump never went, but we'd still go as representatives of the White House. So it was like you had to be on your best behavior. I think I only actually went as Pence's press secretary. So that was even more like you got to be buttoned up.
Oh, sure. Can't speak to him alone.
Yeah, exactly. There's that, right.
All right. So I guess this is a question for both of you. What is the hardest part about working in communications for the White House? Jen, why don't you start?
Well, I think one is I used to say NACP, not a comms problem, which I'm sure Alyssa can relate to. There are times when people, well-meaning even, the public, people even in your own party will say, the messaging is so bad on this. That's the problem. And the truth is good messaging is powerful, right? You connect with people. It's engaging. But sometimes the problem is the policy. And I experienced that certainly when I was working for President Obama, when I was working for President Biden. So that can be a big challenge when the messaging is not something that can actually magically make the policy popular or beloved by the public.
Mm-hmm. That's a great answer. And by the way, I do want to say because I will forever be grateful I got to work in the White House. With all my disagreements with Trump, I hope he's never in office again. But it's serving the public. Like, you're there representing the American people. They pay your salary. Mm-hmm. And your job is to them, not purely to the political, you know, partisan you work for. That is a big one. And I'm actually going to steal your answer because I remember we would, you know, toward the end of 2020, we were getting hit that Donald Trump never did anything major on health care. And he'd run on, we're going to repeal and replace Obamacare. And Jared Kushner calls me in with a bunch of policy people. And he's like, we have the health care message. And it was a platform. It was basically lines of things that we were going to do. But I was like, but you have to have the policy to back it up. I can't simply, like, I can message the hell out of, like, we've got some great ideas, but if you can't implement it. I think that, and then, and I have a question for you on this too, media has changed so much. Mm-hmm. So I was in a, you know, social media heavy White House where the news cycle changes, the principal utilized it. So you could have the best laid plans. As comms director, you're doing long-term communications planning. That barely exists anymore. I want to do this big policy rollout, but then suddenly something comes across the wire and you go a different direction. Mm-hmm. But I'm curious, because going from Obama, which was very much a social media era, and he was the beginning of being a social media president, that's even so different than the environment now with Biden, the TikTok, the Reels, Instagram. Mm-hmm. Did you notice a difference in just communications in general in that, like, you know, 4 or 5 year period?
I mean, massive. Well, first of all, when I started working in the Obama White House, we were the first White House to have a social media department, which we called New Media, which tells you a lot about the period of time. A huge evolution. You know, I experienced this in the briefing room quite a bit, because in the briefing room, I mean, television cameras have been in there since the 90s. Some good aspects, some not as good aspects of that. But what has changed since the age of social media in the briefing room is that you're going to be asked questions 8, 9, 10 times sometimes. Mm-hmm. And you have to repeat the information, because if you don't repeat the information, what will happen is the one time you say, are you kidding me? This question's been asked 10 times. Mm-hmm. That will be thrown up on social media. And then you look like you're kind of a flippant person who isn't, to your point, respecting the American people who you work for. So that's a massive change. But I also think it's forced White Houses to really think about what this bar of, and I experienced this working for President Obama, what is presidential and what is not presidential? Mm-hmm. First of all, anything that is communicating with the American public is presidential. That is your job. Mm-hmm. But when I was working for him, it was like, if you're not doing a major hard news interview or an interview with a newspaper, it doesn't count. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, it counts if it's communicating with the people you represent. So there's been a huge evolution on that over time, which I think is overall a good thing.
Definitely.
Right. The idea of someone, President of the United States, doing a podcast, or even when President Obama came on The View the first time, it was something
huge.
That was kind of controversial.
Yes, it was controversial. That's right.
Right.
This is so crazy to think about. It was controversial. But
smart politics.
Right. Smart politics. Absolutely. Do you need to answer like a range of questions from a range of reporters? You should. That's part of respecting democracy. But also, when you're in the White House, you're really thinking about, how do I reach the broader swath of the public that isn't pressing refresh on whitehouse.gov every day? That's part of your job,
right,
too.
I have to laugh, because when you were talking about the hardest part being, you know, sometimes the messaging isn't there, and then Alyssa's agreeing. I'm like, not to minimize what you went through, but Alyssa's messaging is drink bleach,
right,
and it might help
drink
with COVID.
Bleach. I did not have to do drink bleach.
Okay, for the record, I tried to stop that press conference. I physically barricaded myself. I got Mark Meadows and the vice president. I was like, please don't let this happen. And then a certain former counselor to the president lied in the book and said she tried to stop it, though she was the one pushing it, but I digress.
There we go. Tea spilled.
Well, let's go to the other side of this and tell me about some of your favorite moments in these roles.
Wow, there's so many moments, and I'm sure, Alyssa, you can relate to this too. You're just so busy. It's like drinking from a fire hose, no matter what senior job you have in the White House. And when I went back and worked for President Biden, it was like icing on the cake. I didn't think I was ever going to go back to work for a White House, because what would I have done? Mm-hmm. And so I really tried to be I tried to smell the roses more, as my mother would say. She's a family therapist. And I tried to be mindful of going to things to be a part of the experience.
Yeah.
So I remember very distinctly in the spring of 2022, Ketanji Brown Jackson had just been confirmed. There was an event on the South Lawn for her. It was actually a beautiful spring day, too. And I thought to myself, I don't know if I can do this. I'm so busy. I got to prep for the briefing. I'm so busy. And I was like, I got to do it. I knew in my mind I was leaving soon. I was like, I got to do it. I will regret not being there. I went out there, and I remember she started talking, and I just found myself getting choked up. I'm kind of an emotional person. I like, it's like emotions on the, it's like under my skin. So it's not an uncommon thing. But I was thinking, oh, my God, pull it together. You can't cry during this while she's speaking. But I looked around, and cabinet secretaries and members of Congress and people were crying, because it was an incredibly powerful day and an incredibly powerful moment. And I had like a tiny sliver in that confirmation process. But there are moments where you think, wow, I am a part of this, and how special is that?
No, that's profound. Yeah, of course. And what about you, Alyssa? What are your favorite memories? We hear about the other ones sometimes.
I know. That's the funny thing. Because they're in any White House, so take the Trump out of it. There are just insanely cool things that it's you have to pinch yourself that you're experiencing mm-hmm. it. And I remember my favorite moment. We had the last Medal of Honor recipient from World War II mm-hmm. come and spend the day with us. And he came aboard Air Force One. And he's this tiny little man. He actually just passed a year ago. And to see all these like big, tough Secret Service guys want to like pose for pictures sure. with him and hearing mm-hmm. him tell stories like I would never get that somewhere else. And like
I
these,
love that.
And the head of state meetings were always really mm-hmm. cool. But I think we probably had the same when you were comms director, that like office to the left. Is that where you were?
Oh, right past the press secretary office?
Yeah. Were you the middle or the one to the far left? No one would care about those.
When I was the comms director, I know. It's so funny. I was the far one.
So I had that one as well. And I'm convinced it's the best office in the West Wing because when you have a head of state come, if they come through that entrance, you get to watch the whole entrance. I have this video of like Netanyahu arriving. Yeah. It's you have to pinch yourself.
Yes.
And, you know, just things that I very much echo, though, no job will ever feel busy again compared to that. I don't know how you, like, I'd forget to eat. I'd forget to go to the ladies' room. Like, you were just going, going, going. And somehow what needed to get done would, but it's unbelievable.
It's so true. I talk about this in my, and you could relate to this, too, and that made me think of it, is, like, I remember, because I worked at the State Department as a spokesperson for a couple of years, and at one point, I had a boot on my foot because I had run and hiked on it so much that I had fractured a bunch of bones. I didn't realize that I had a cramp. I thought I had a cramp in my foot. Obviously, I was not going to be a doctor, clearly. But I had to get a boot on my foot. And I also had a crown that I forgot to get the final crown put in. And I'm on the plane. We're on our way to Egypt. We'd gone to Afghanistan and my tooth fell out and I had a boot in my foot. And I literally, because you become so crazy when you're working in government or any crazy job, I literally was like, well, I guess I have 10 more days of the trip. I'm walking around with my boot. I have a baggie with a tooth in it. I'm like, what are we doing? There are moments I look back and I'm like, what was I doing in that moment?
God's honest truth. When you put this on social, when I was with Pence, I had a stress fracture as well, which I attributed to like, oh, it's fine. No, it was like multiple stress fractures. There's a picture of me walking with Pence. I want to say we're in Papua New Guinea for a meet APEC, this big like CEO summit. We're walking past President Xi and me and my stupid little boot are there. And I was just like, for this moment in history, I couldn't have bucked up and like put on a heel. But personal health fails. But luckily, the White House medical office can do a lot.
Oh, yeah.
If you're home.
When I was super pregnant, they were like, and working for Obama, they were like, if the baby needs to be delivered on the plane, we're prepared. Please, God, let's not have that be. I know it's an amazing
kind of
story, but like, I don't need that to be the journey we all journey through together.
I mean, when you're writing the book, though, that's a good chapter. Right. I'm just saying. Speaking of the book, you write about some of the mistakes you made on mm-hmm. the job. And are there any that still stick with you today? Are there things that you had trouble letting go of?
So sure. I mean, when I wrote about them, I relived them again.
Yeah.
And, you know, part of it, I think, is that when you're speaking on behalf of the government, you know, you are yourself, but you have to remember what you're representing. And it requires kind of a level of seriousness, but also stoicism at times mm-hmm. that isn't the personality of anyone. It's certainly not mine. Right. And I had a couple of moments where I was like a little flippant, mm-hmm. right? You're kind of being mm-hmm. funny, like how we would talk on the podcast. And I regret that because it just doesn't translate, right?
Mm-hmm.
In a lot of my predecessors, Democrats, Republicans, Dana Perino actually gave me great advice on a range of things, said to me, you have to remember you're not just talking to the people in the room, right?
Mm-hmm.
You are primarily talking to the people at home. And that stuck with me, but there were times where I fell out of the character of that, mm-hmm, and every time I regretted it.
Yeah, no, I can imagine. Well, one of the nice things about it, I think, is that you often got to meet celebrities at the White House.
Oh, yeah. Although I feel like, in addition to walking around with stress fractures, apparently, your pop culture knowledge really falls off.
Yeah. Yes.
Falls off.
Because you're otherwise involved. You're not really paying attention to the hot new names.
Exactly.
Right. So were there times you didn't know who people were?
Oh my God. I tell this story in my book about I had a under 1-year-old daughter. I was going to a state dinner. I was bringing my mom, which was amazing. But, you know, it's like I wanted to make sure she got into the building. I had to find a dress that fit me less than 1 year after having a baby. It was stressful in that sense. And you can always look up in the White House, like, what the table seatings are at these dinners. Sure. You have access to the information. I did not. I failed to. I just like rolled up to the dinner and I sat down and I started talking to this nice guy next to me and we're chatting and he's asking me about what I do and he's telling me about I spend a lot of time in the studio and, you know, I love to create. And I'm like, oh, he's so interesting. Is he a painter? And I'm like, well, what do you do in the studio? It's like, turns out it's Chance the Rapper.
Sure.
So,
well, he probably didn't have the hat with the three on it, right? I mean, it's harder.
No,
to...
I was actually watching The Voice last night and I was thinking, oh my God, I'm so embarrassed. Still, this was so many years ago. First of all, he was lovely. He probably does not remember this at all. Maybe he does now because I'm talking about it. But he was completely lovely about it. And he was there, which was so cool, with his mother, who had been kind of been very involved in politics. His family had been in Chicago politics. And my mother was sitting next to his mother. So, but yes, it is a reminder, even like 5 minutes of a Google will just prepare you for things. Well,
so mine was Mariano Rivera, because I guess he and Trump are kind of friendly. And she came into the press secretary's office, and I popped in, and everyone's losing their mind and they're so excited. But I kept waiting for the cues and conversation as you were to figure out, like, I'm going to put together who this person is. It did not come. Eventually, somebody came in and like whispered in my ear because I think my blank stare showed that I know nothing about sports. But yeah, you never know. The Obama White House was notorious. Like, celebrities flocked to it. They loved him. We didn't get that many, but when we got him, we also got some random ones too.
Kid Rock came around a lot.
Yeah, Kid Rock. Yeah. I know. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I once saw like Kid Rock smoking a cigarette on West Exec, and then Mitt Romney walked out. And I was just like, what is happening?
I did once, though. My husband's a massive baseball fan. I'm less so. I like a hot dog and like to be outside at a game. But but Derek Jeter was there for something. And I saw him, I think, out of the window of the communications director office. And I took a White House note card and I ran out and got him to sign it.
Mm-hmm. Amazing.
It was like great. I brought it home like I was delivering. I was like, you will never guess what I got for you today.
That's amazing.
Cool wife.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
That's as good as it gets. Wow, that's pretty good. We'll be right back.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th. And it's making me feel joy. Woo! And sadness. Oh. And anger. Definitely some disgust.
Rose!
And I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
This episode is brought to you by Snapple. Welcome to the Snapple Market Auditory Experience. Close your eyes. Imagine you're walking into your neighborhood store. You make your way to the back and reach for your favorite Snapple flavor. You can't wait. You take a sip. Whoa, that's a lot of flavor. Mm-hmm. What flavor are you holding? Now open your eyes and check out Snapple.com to find ridiculously flavorful Snapple near you.
All right. So the other question I have for both of you, and Alyssa, you can maybe take the lead on this a little bit too, is how do you manage a personal life while having this job?
Well, and you talk about this in the book. I'm halfway through, but I luckily neither had kids nor I was engaged when I was in the White House. You don't have much of one. I think that's the thing you have to be honest with, is I wasn't good about setting boundaries for myself. But when you have the time, make it. Utilize weekends to the degree that you can. But if you're at the level, you know, that Jen was, that I was, you are on call constantly. You're considered a commissioned officer of the president. There is no time that you're not checking your phone, needing to be on. And the hard part for me was you know, communicating that with a partner. Justin and I weren't married yet, and it was hard to understand. We'd be with his parents, and it'd be, you know, why is she glued to her phone? And they got there. It's just, I think, over-communicating to your loved ones that it's a season of life where you're going to be less accessible, but you're always going to at least try for the big moments to show up. But, oh, a lot of missed birthdays, a lot of not seeing family, missing calls and that kind of thing. But you did it with kids, which is incredible.
Well, thank you. But I relate to a lot of what you just said. I mean, early on, before I had kids, I was thinking of, like, being at a graduation for a family member or my husband's family members and, like, excusing myself to the ladies' room and being, like, in there checking my phone, which I'm sure I did 1,000 times, became, like, my trick. I'm sure they were like, is she okay? You know, I learned over time, and I actually learned this lesson from, of all people, Rahm Emanuel, who obviously has had a number of crazy jobs, including being the White House chief of staff, is that you have to, the best of your ability, set some boundaries for yourself. And it took me some time to do this. But when I went back to be Biden's White House press secretary, which was my dream job, and I was so happy to be there, and I loved the job. People were always like, oh, must have been so terrible every day. I was like, no, I loved it. Does that make me kind of a weird person? I don't know. I loved the briefing. But is every Friday night. It was also during COVID. So it was just like I didn't have much of a social life anyway, which in some ways was easier. But every Friday night, we were in kind of a bubble with my sister and my brother-in-law and my niece and nephew are the same ages as my kids. They would come over and we would have pizza and my mom would come over if she was in town. And I kind of tried to preserve that time.
That's good.
And that was a time where I didn't look at my phone and I tried to be present. And what I learned with kids is that it doesn't require being present 8 hours.
Mm-hmm.
You can be present if you give them your attention for 15 minutes, 20 minutes, it's incredibly powerful. And I just gave myself a little bit of grace with that.
Yeah, it's kind of the quality versus quantity of kids. I've heard that from other very successful women, and I'm going to file that away for when I have kids.
You file it away. Also, I mean, we were just talking about this before, but someone gave me this advice. I'm going to give it to you now because you'll be a great mom. It's like, part of your kid's story is your story. And you, as a woman who's on television, who has an impressive career, that's part of their story and part of their experience. It doesn't have to meet a certain cookie cutter thing.
That is so true.
And it's like, that was very enlightening to me for some reason. And I think about that a lot even now. And my kids are 6 and 8 now.
But. And they'll grow up and they'll see your example and feel like they're not limited by anything.
Yes.
They can do what they want to and they can.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I want to hear this story because in 2015, Obama asked you to come back and work for him.
Mm-hmm.
You were pregnant at the time.
Mm-hmm.
How did that all play out?
So I remember this day so distinctly. My husband and I lived in a row house, and I was sitting on, we had kind of old rickety furniture. I don't even know if people had given it to us. Who knows? But I was sitting on this chair, and Dennis McDonough, who was then the White House chief of staff, called me and said, hey, Jennifer Palmieri, who was the communications director at the time, she's leaving and she's going to go work on the Clinton campaign. And the president wants you to come back and be the White House communications director. Now, I tell this story. People are like, didn't you have to interview? It's like, well, I'd worked for him for 8 years.
Right.
So he liked me or didn't at that point. But and I said in my mind, it was like this slow motion of 20 seconds where I thought, Dennis clearly doesn't know I'm pregnant. I'm going to tell him I'm pregnant. And he's going to say, that's great. Good luck with that.
Yeah.
There's a lot happening in my mind in 20 seconds. And I said, I haven't shared this with a lot of people, but I'm pregnant. I'm having a baby in July. And but I think something like, I so appreciate you reaching out. And he was like, that's amazing. Your kids are great. You're going to be a great mom. Just promise me you'll think about this. And let's talk tomorrow or the next day. And then fast forward the next 1 or 2 days later, President Obama called me and he said, I told my mom, even if I didn't do the job, I'll always remember this part. He was like, I only have a few minutes because the king is in my office, as in the king of Jordan, right?
Sure.
And he said, look, being a dad is the best thing in my life. And you're going to love being a parent, but we can figure this out. And you just
That's
have to
awesome.
Figure out what you need and ask. But I really want you to come back and do this job. And it was still a hard decision because I felt both, is this okay for my future child?
Sure. Yeah.
And I also felt an element of it, like, were people going to judge me for being a person who was having a child and taking this crazy, crazy, insane job? I obviously did the job. I left most days at 5:30. I was on my phone always, to your point.
But huge that you had a boss that supported that.
Yes.
That makes all the difference.
Very much supported, and I am very lucky in that regard.
You were pregnant in the public eye. What was that like for you, and any advice for women who – basically, what's your advice for me?
Oh, my God. Well – I was not hosting The View when I was pregnant, but I was with my daughter. I was the State Department spokesperson. Mm-hmm. I was a target of Russian propaganda for a good period of time, even before that. Mm-hmm. And so when I was pregnant, there were certainly some memes about that, which is a little strange. Mm-hmm. But then I also, when I was a CNN contributor, I remember a couple of times, and I still did CNN until I was like I was like having the baby in 3 days, and I was like still on a set because I fortunately had two like easy pregnancies. I also was still exercising. I'd go into the Georgetown University workout place, and the students I think were like, oh my. That's very that aside. People who would tweet. I like you, but like you seem to really have let yourself go.
Oh my god!
And it's like, and
what
I remember,
people feel they can say.
I remember messaging someone back like, "I am carrying a full human around in my stomach." So I would say this: it is another moment where you have to give yourself some grace. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a person who's like a fast moving person. I'm sure you are, I think, as well. And you just are a little bit more tired, mm-hmm. and you got to give yourself some grace in that and rest and hydrate,
yes.
and tell your amazing colleagues and bosses what you need,
mm-hmm.
and also be mindful that a lot of people say stupid stuff
right.
out there, especially when you're in a public role. So,
well, something to look forward to on that.
Yes, exactly.
I'd like to clarify again in advance of the articles.
I am not pregnant.
Yes, Alyssa is not currently pregnant.
I will let you all know when I am.
Yeah.
We'll be first.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, listen, this has been such a big thrill for me. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
I am a massive West Wing fan, so the idea that I'm with a C.J. Craig and a Toby.
Toby's cool.
Love Toby.
It's all very cool for me.
I mean,
yeah.
C.J. is the greatest press secretary
of
all time.
I had never seen the West Wing. Have you
I did
it?
Before, so I went in. That's what I expected. It was not my experience.
Okay, well, I'm sorry about that. They need you here, but I feel like you need a different experience. But I never watched it, and then I left the Obama White House because I was like so tired. I had this moment where I was leaving my apartment. I didn't have kids yet. Midday and a beautiful day, and I felt like I was like exiting. If you ever watch The Sopranos, when they
sure.
like leave, and it's like you can't even see the sun, and I was like, mm-hmm. There's something going wrong here. I have to leave the White House. But I watched the entire series over the course of like 4 or 5 months, and David Plouffe, who was a senior advisor to President Obama, called me and asked me to come back and do the campaign. And I had just watched the whole series, and I was like, yes!
It reinvigorated you. It brought you back.
It did reinvigorate me. It is such an amazing show. And your experience was not normal, but it is what your best day is and what your best days are.
That's a great way. And I remind myself that.
Public service is amazing. And
I got to do the Pentagon, which that was one of the greatest experiences and honor of my life. And I think that I got to get what my West Wing kind of experience mm-hmm. there, my earring experience.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. All right. Well, listen, thank you again for joining us. Jen's new book, Say More, is out tomorrow. And tomorrow I'll be back with Sunny Hostin. Thank you so much for listening. And thank you again for joining
thank
us.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Take care.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.